Years ago, there was a Monty Python routine about a man who was going to tell other people how to argue. And he said to the host, "Go ahead, give me some proposition or something." And whatever the host said, he said, "No, it's not." And finally, after going back and forth, the host said, "This is not argument. This is simple contradiction." He said, "No, it's not." And you realize as you watch it that that resembles a lot of our arguments. They're not actually attempts to discover anything. They are attempts to win. It's how much of our society is set up, after all. There are lots of books about how to win arguments. That's what you're supposed to do in a court of law, after all, is win the argument. And in this morning's parsha, we have a good example of this distinction in our own tradition. Korach rebels against Moses. And in Pirkei Avot, in the fifth chapter, is a famous Mishnah that is always applied to this parsha. It says there are two kinds of arguments. There's an argument, a machloket l'shem shamayim, for the sake of heaven. The example of an argument for the sake of heaven is the arguments between Hillel and Shammai. I'll come back to them in a minute. And then there are arguments that are not for the sake of heaven. And an example of that is the argument of Korach and his Edah, that is, his community. So there are at least two questions to ask about this. First of all, what's the difference between an argument for the sake of heaven and one that is not? But also, do you notice an asymmetry here? It says Hillel and Shammai, Korach and, it should say, Moses. Because Korach was arguing with Moses, but it doesn't say that. It says Hillel and Shammai, Korach and his own community. Now, why is that? Those two questions are, in a sense, one question. When you argue, you can have two different motivations. The way I like to think of it is the way that Emerson wrote it in his journal when Thoreau was over one night. Thoreau was a wonderful writer, but a difficult, irascible personality. And he used to come over and argue with Emerson. And Emerson wrote in his journal one night after Thoreau left, "Must we always argue for victory and never for truth?" Because he would get caught up in this argument with Emerson. And as you know, when you get caught up in an argument, what you want to do is win. And you want to contradict the other person and prove that what they're saying is wrong. And that way, the argument becomes not a search for truth, but a competition for victory. Hillel and Shammai didn't follow that prescription. They each sought to discover something that was meaningful in their own positions, and even something that was of worth in the position of the other. And that's why you don't say the argument was between Korach and Moses, because Moses did the same thing. When someone took a different position from Moses, he sought to find out whether there was something in that position that he could learn from. That's why when other people start to prophesy, Eldad and Medad, what does Moses say? "That's wonderful. I wish everybody was a prophet." In other words, the competition didn't worry him. But Korach did argue with his own community, because what Korach wanted was to win. And so presumably did everybody else in the Korach camp. So now, this is a nice Torah lesson about leadership and maybe even about political leadership. And I certainly advise you to think next time you hear a couple of political leaders talking, are they actually trying to learn from each other's positions, or are they just trying to win? Watch the Sunday morning talk shows. They'll be on tomorrow morning. I think the chance that one will say, "Oh, you know, I never thought of that before. That's a good point." Virtually nil. But also think about it in our own lives. When you get into an argument with your spouse or your friend or your children or your business partners or your parents, how much do you listen to what they have to say? Do you ever stop and say, you know, I hadn't really considered that, but that's a good point. I'm going to have to think about that and get back to you. Or do you immediately move into the mode of, how do I answer that argument? Or how do I prove that that's not true? Or how do I remember that you say this now, but once you said that? Since, of course, one of the ways of winning an argument is having a better memory. Or better powers of invention. Either one. In other words, how often do we argue like Korach? And how often do we argue like Hillel? And the aim, of course, determines the argument. The reason we argue like Korach is because what we're concerned about is winning. But if the aim of the argument in the end is truth, or is closeness, or is resolution, then you'll argue like Hillel. In fact, Hillel and Shammai disagreed about lots of things in the Talmud. And the law, except in a few cases, always goes with Hillel. So we would assume that Hillel always had the better arguments. But that's not what the Talmud tells us. It explicitly says that Hillel and the school of Hillel didn't prevail because they had the better arguments. Because after all, Shammai was a smart guy. They said Hillel was chosen because they would always state Shammai's arguments before their own and because they were humble. Because the point of the Jewish tradition is to create a certain kind of person, not to win a certain kind of argument. And this is the secret of the difference between Korach and his arguments and Hillel and Shammai and theirs, which is, at the end, Moses' concern, Hillel's concern, Shammai's concern was, what kind of person will I be at the conclusion of this argument? And a victorious person was not their first choice. A humble person, a good person, one who has learned, one who has sometimes kept silent so that the other person can speak their truth. That was their end. But Korach, he just wanted to win. And so in the end, of all the people I mentioned, Korach was the only one who lost. He didn't grow. He didn't change. He didn't learn. And that's why, unlike other disputes in Jewish history, the dispute of Korach and Moses, it leaves no school, no changes, no lasting result. The arguments of the Hasidim in the Mignagdim, they were fruitful. They taught us a lot. The arguments in the Talmud are fruitful. They teach us a lot. The arguments where the end is to change who you are, they last. They're l'shem shamayim. So the next time you are in the middle of an argument, see if you can stop for a moment and remember the example of Hillel and remember the imagery of Korach. Korach gets swallowed up. And that's what happens to us all too often when we are in the midst of the argument. We are swallowed up. We're completely consumed. We can't see that there's another person or another point of view. But then take a step back. And remember why the law follows Hillel. Because he was good. He was humble. He listened. He learned. And therefore, when he argued, it was l'shem shamayim, which is another way of saying, for the glory of God. Shabbat shalom.